mine out and ready. Wow, good. Take it out if you don't have it out yet. Starting a new series today. I'm calling it the Timeless Series. Timeless Series. Part one, about heaven. About heaven. And as we begin today, let's begin with a prayer together. The prayer is up here on the screen. Maybe it is. I'm not working. Can you make it work? There it goes. Maybe my battery is dead. A prayer. Let's pray this together. Father in heaven, thank you for your deep love for me. Your love is timeless. It never ends. Your love doesn't stop and cannot be stopped by the experiences I have in life, whether good or bad. Help me now to make my love for you timeless. So no matter what experiences or challenges I face, I will always express my unending praise and love for you. In Jesus' name, I commit myself to you. Amen. Good prayer? Yes. Timeless. Timeless. In a trendy world where fads and trends come and go, we need things in our lives that are permanent, timeless. The best things in a world of fads are things that endure forever. So I've included in your sermon outline a matching game about fads during the past 90 years. So take that out and connect the fad up over here to connect the fad to the decade in which it belongs. Okay, do that and your sermon outline ready, go. At the answers. Drive-in theaters. 1930s. Silly Putty and the Yo-Yo. 40s, okay. I'm actually doing this incorrectly. Okay, let me have the same page you have. There we go. Okay. Duck Dynasty and selfies. That's not going to work? Oh, the way I have to do it, the way you did it. Okay. Once again, my wife is right. Okay. Poodle skirts and 45 RPM records. 50s. Lava lamps and tie-dye t-shirts. 60s. Disco and Pet Rocks. Raise your hand if you remember Pet Rocks. Yeah. Somebody made a lot of money off of rocks. I don't know. Atari and Rubik's Cube. Oh, that's the 80s. Beanie Babies and internet chat rooms. Okay, the beginning of the internet. iPods and Razor scooters. Any of you kids here know what a Razor scooter is? Yes. Did you have one? Your grandpa had one. Is he still alive? Justin and I, we went on a scooter. We had two of those scooters. We went up above Weston Hill. Got on and down the hill we went. I'm pushing on the brake. We were screaming down that hill. That brake was red hot by the time we got to the bottom of the hill. Duck Dynasty and selfies. 2010s, yeah. How many did you get right? You missed four, okay. Yeah, it's kind of fun to look at fads and those kind of things. See where they've been. Fads are not bad. In fact, fads are kind of fun, aren't they? Yeah, they are. But fads have a problem. They have an expiration date. They have shelf life. God created us to have important things with no expiration date, things that are timeless, things like courage and love and humility, integrity, generosity. These things never go out of style, and they look really good on those who choose to wear them. In the next several weeks, we're going to look at the timeless things that will not only improve and impact your life today, but it will impact your future and can even change the direction of your family tree. How cool is that? Fads are fun, but don't make the mistake of investing things that are trendy at the cost of things that are timeless. Live by things that are timeless, and you're going to have peace and security in your life that won't go the way of bell bottoms and beanie babies. Anybody remember bell bottoms? Yes. So we need things in our lives that are timeless. So in our first message, we're going to talk about a very important place, heaven. Heaven is for real. But there's a lot of confusion around it. Let's begin with the question that we may not have thought of out loud, but we need to. Here's the question. What does heaven have to do with my life today? Heaven will be important to us when we die, but it doesn't have any impact on our lives today, does it? Okay, I'm hearing people say, yes, heaven is important to us, but talk with your neighbor for about 30 seconds on why. What about heaven is important to us? Go ahead and talk about that. Heaven is important to us today. In what way? How does it help us live our lives today, or help us live our lives more accurately to Christ today? God intends for heaven to greatly impact how we live our lives today. In fact, I believe that understanding heaven as a timeless truth that has the potential to change how you live out the next 7 days of your life. Think about heaven and how it's going to impact this coming week for you. Let's begin with a good question. Eternity, what is heaven like? What is heaven like? A Gallup poll showed that 81% of Americans believe in heaven. That's a pretty big percentage. Can you get 81% of Americans to agree on anything? And yet, that same 81% readily admit a lot of confusion about what heaven is, where it is, what it's like. When we have no clarity about a biblical truth, we tend to minimize its importance. In this case, heaven takes a back seat when we're confused about it. Because of this fogginess about heaven, it is minimized in our minds. Here's the problem. When heaven is minimized, there's some blanks there, the blue words go in your blanks. When heaven is minimized in our hearts, sin is marginalized in our minds. Here's where I'm going with this. If how I live today doesn't impact how I live in heaven, I'm going to marginalize the seriousness of sin. Yes? The truth about heaven is minimized by images we've read about, we've seen maybe growing up with our parents showing us books about heaven. Here's some ideas about heaven. Lots and lots of fluffy clouds, right? We wear wings and we play harps. And we're singing all day long in a choir praising God. That's what we're going to do in heaven. Day after day after day after day. I don't know about you. Can I be honest? I think that sounds a little boring to do that day after. We wouldn't do that here. If I said we're going to have a worship service, it's going to last 6 hours and we're going to do nothing but sing and praise God. Woo-hoo! We got one. Oh, by the way, we're doing that on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday too. Heaven is a much better place than hell, we all agree. But if heaven is a place where I live in the clouds and sing all day, frankly, the life I live now is more enduring and exciting than that. Hollywood doesn't help us either. What if heaven really is an empty warehouse where we spend eternity mopping the floors with Morgan Freeman? What's the movie? Bruce Almighty, yep. One indicator that we don't know what heaven is like and know its value is found in our quiet little hopes we have. We don't say this really too loud, but we say things like, God, please don't come back before my wedding or my children's wedding. Don't come back before spring break or summer break. Lord, please don't come back before this major business deal is settled. Don't come back before the next crop. No wonder we think heaven doesn't have anything to do with how we will face the next 7 days. However, heaven does have much more to do with our lives today than how we realize. Let's look. To get a clearer picture of what heaven is like, we need to first eliminate two misconceptions about our timeless lives in heaven. The first misconception is that Christians will spend eternity in heaven. Well, nobody's trying to tar and feather me yet. You're going, what? Well, technically it's true. We will spend eternity in heaven. But it's also not true if you think heaven is somewhere else. What does God say about where heaven will be? Here's a clue. Now think about this. Before the fall into sin, Adam and Eve are not walking around the garden. They're not walking around the earth going, oh, I'll be so glad when I die. I get to go to heaven. I won't have to be here anymore. Didn't hear him saying that, did we? Why did we not hear them saying that? Because heaven is already here. God created the original earth to be heaven. Woohoo! No wonder Adam and Eve aren't going, I'll be glad when I die so I can, I'll be. You know, we say that some days when we have really bad days. Lord, please come. Get me out of this place. Adam and Eve's earth was literally heaven on earth. Isaiah 65:17, God says, see, I will create new heavens and a new earth. A new earth? To make sure he's made his point, God repeats this in the next chapter, Isaiah 66:22. As the new heavens and the new earth that I make will endure before me, so will your name and descendants endure. Again, there's this new earth idea. Peter restates it in 2 Peter 3:13. In keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. For us to understand what eternity in heaven is going to be like, we have to understand what God means by new earth. In his book titled Heaven by Randy Alcorn, he makes a great point that believers in Jesus will spend eternity here on the new earth. The new earth. While it's technically true that believers will spend eternity in heaven, it's more accurate to say that Christians will spend eternity on the new earth here, heaven. Why is this a big deal? Well, because according to Scripture, you know more about eternity, what eternity in heaven is going to be like than you think you do. This is a big deal because knowing what heaven is like helps you to live more obediently to Christ today. Why? Because living here in this earth, on this earth, in this kingdom, has a great impact on how you will live on the new earth. And I'll get to that in a minute. If you want a more accurate vision of what eternity is going to be like, of what heaven is going to be like, just go outside and look around. Ever seen a sunset that took your breath away? A sunrise that was so beautiful you just had to stop and look at it? Had to stop what you were doing and be in awe of it? Ever wonder how a grain seed knows which direction up is? Or a tree on a hillside? Here's the hillside. The tree doesn't grow like this. It grows like this. How does it know how to do that? Which way is up? How did that happen? Oh, that's interesting stuff. Go look around outside and be in awe of the world God has created for you as broken as it is. It's an awesome place. To further help us know what heaven will be like, let's look at what the word new means in the Greek language. Now, the Greek language, Koine Greek, is the common Greek language of Jesus' day. This is the language that the New Testament was written in. It's a dead language now. It's not spoken anymore. But in Jesus' day, it was the language. It's like English around the world. If you want to do business, commerce around the world, you're most likely going to speak English. Well, that's the way the Koine Greek was of Jesus' day. It was the language of the Romans. It was the language, it's how you did business. Two Greek words describe the word new. There's the word neos, N-E-O-S, and the word kainos, K-A-I-N-O-S, kainos. Neos describes something brand new that's never been, never has existed before. Ex nihilo is a term that describes God made something out of nothing. Out of nothing. Neos, this is brand new. I love Larry Kopic's joke about the scientist who said, "I've discovered." I think I'm going to slaughter this joke, but it's something about I've discovered. He says to God, "I've discovered how to make the world," and we're going to have a contest. And so the scientist goes to God and says, "Okay, we're going to have a contest." God says, "Okay, you go first." The scientist reaches down, picks up some dirt, and God says, "Go get your own dirt." That's my dirt. So the Greek word, the word neos means something made out of nothing, brand new. But that's not the word used to describe the new earth. That Greek word is kainos, which means to restore something to its original design and purpose. So the new earth will be this earth we know today, redeemed and restored to its original design. Imagine your earth, think about this, redeemed and restored to look and function like it did when God first made it. Wow. We think a flower smells good now. We think sunsets are pretty now. Wow. This is beyond measure. Beyond what we can ask or imagine. Wouldn't that just be like heaven? No pun intended. You know more about heaven than you think you do. You see, when Jesus returns, he will redeem and restore his creation, starting with you. Yes, we are saved. Yes, we are reconciled. Yes, we are justified. Yes, we are in the process of sanctified. In other words, growing to be more like Jesus all the time. But when Jesus returns, he's going to complete our salvation. It will finally be finished. just as Jesus said, it is finished when he began the possibility of salvation. He is making all things new. When Jesus returns, he will make all things kainos, new, restored to their original design and purpose. What influence will it make to your next 7 days to know that heaven is this earth redeemed and renewed, not some puffy place of clouds where we sing all day and wear white robes and float around? Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Paul gives a real big clue here about our broken world. Romans chapter 8. Starting in verse 18. Romans 8:18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Verse 19, the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated or freed from the bondage to decay. Do you see things in this world decaying? You bet. Put a lawn chair outside and leave it there for 4 years. And you'll see it fade in color. You'll see it decay, especially if it's plastic. It will get brittle and break. The creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. The world itself is groaning. Paul says in the next couple of verses, the world is groaning. Verse 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. How bad are those groans if it's like childbirth? I don't know. But you ladies know, the world is broken by sin. And one day, just as we are looking forward to the completion of our salvation, so is the world looking for its redemption, its time when it will be restored. How cool is this, you guys? Let's think about heaven. A second misconception is that heaven is exactly the same for all people, for everyone who goes there. Ironically, the scriptures teach the exact opposite. Paul reveals that heaven will be different for everyone who lives there. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive what is due them for the things done in this body, whether good or bad. This was written to non-Christians, right? No, this was written to the church. This was written for us. This should make a difference about how we live out the next 7 days. How you live here makes a difference how you live there. Jesus taught this truth in Matthew 12:36, and to make sure we get the point, Paul says it again in Romans 14:10. In other words, God knows what decisions you're making today. This can be a bit unsettling for us. Do you know the reason why it's unsettling? It's supposed to be unsettling. It's supposed to motivate us to know the truth that when we say, oh, it doesn't matter how I live here because God's going to forgive me. I'll go to heaven and everything will be all peachy keen there too. Really? Is Paul trying to give us a warning here? Is he trying to give us new information, or at least information over and over again that tells us it makes a difference how you live out the next 7 days and the seven after that and the seven after that. It is a bit unsettling. We can't afford to buy into the myth that how I live my life today does not impact what my life will be like in eternity. That kind of thinking is inconsistent with Bible teaching about heaven. Everyone gets into heaven the same way through faith in Christ. We agree, John 14:6. But we are rewarded or not rewarded based on the way we live our lives today. Let me take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Starting in verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. Paul is teaching here, and he says this. By the grace God has given me, the grace to preach the gospel, that is, I have laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. What foundation did he lay down? That Christ is the Son of God. This is the foundation of the church. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day, capital D, day of judgment, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive the reward. If what he built is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself, however, will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. This, to me, says there are differences of reward in heaven. Now, I'm fighting a thought in my own life right now about this topic. And the thought is this. Well, if I get to heaven, no matter what reward I get, it's all going to be good, right? So what difference does it make how I live my life here as long as I get to heaven? So I'm going right back into thinking that how I live here doesn't matter. Whether I get into heaven by the skin of my teeth, as this says, or what I built, that is, I have given people the truth about Jesus, and those who have heard it, and I've taught them how to walk in the faith, and that faith held during tests of their faith, I will be tested. My work, my teaching, and your teaching will be tested. What do you teach people by your words, by your actions, by what you put on Facebook? I see things on Facebook that embarrasses me as Christians. You watch what you put on Facebook. It's embarrassing, people. Think about that. What you teach will be tested. Will it stand the test? Teach Christ and only Him. So here's the challenge for us today. Make one decision this week based on the timeless truth that how you live your life today will and does impact your eternity on this new earth known as heaven. What decisions have you not taken seriously as you should? What sin have you not dealt with as seriously as you should? Are they decisions about your marriage, your work, your habits, promises you've made? Remember this, what you believe about your King determines how you live your life. True? Amen. Do one thing that the Bible says will stand the test of time. Do one thing this next 7 days that will be timeless, that will go with you into heaven, that will be the treasures that Jesus talks about in Matthew 6. Let it be timeless. Things like integrity, generosity, humility, honesty. These are timeless things, and they will be tested. On Judgment Day, these decisions will be tested to see if they were built upon Christ, and if found worthy, will become timeless treasures and rewards that will be yours in heaven on earth. And as you live and work each day this week, do so with a heightened awareness. A heightened awareness that how you live your life today impacts your eternity. Let's think about that. Heaven is for real. Worship team, come on up. Plan to be here next week, okay? Everybody listen. I always lose you when the worship team moves. Plan to be here next week because we are going to be talking about what may be the most important thing you can do that will stand up to the test of eternity and bring you reward in heaven. You're going to hear an extraordinary way to have and live a timeless life. So today, let's respond to God. It's on your outline. Look at your outline. Respond to God. Number one, as you live and work this each day this week, do so with that heightened awareness that eternity is impacted by how you live this week. Secondly, make one decision this week based on the foundation of your faith, Jesus and His Word. Let's pray. Father God,